Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Hey, check it out. If you missed the big news on Friday, in association with Dave Ramsey, Chris Brown's True Stewardship is launching the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway on stewardship.com. We're giving away over $100,000 worth of cash and prizes between now and Christmas. So enter once a day at stewardship.com. There is no purchase that is necessary. Feel free to call in. This is your show, 866-357-3283. Again, that number is 866-357-3283. And of course, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com as well. So, hey, listen, while we're waiting on you to call in, giving you a little bit of time here, I want to make sure that you are making plans for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Okay, we're getting close. And the biggest way that you can remove this pressure out of your life about the holidays coming up is just to sit down for 30 minutes. Shut the TV off tonight and sit down for 30 minutes and think through this. What does Thanksgiving look like? What does Christmas look like? Who are you going to buy for? How much? What activities are you going to do? Hey, listen, Christmas activities, holiday activities, they don't have to be expensive. I just thought there's some things that we've done in the past or some things that we're thinking about this year because we've already had this conversation. It relieved a ton of stress in our home, and I want you to have the same experience. Here's some of the things that we've done before. Building a gingerbread house. Now, I use the word we pretty liberally there. That's mostly my wife and me taking pictures and me eating the little, those little gummies. Oh, I'm having a moment. I'm telling you, those gummies are amazing. But anyway, I'm moving on. Going around and looking at lights, Christmas lights around the neighborhood. That is so much fun. My kids sit in the sunroof. They're checking out the lights. They love it. Depending on the age of your kids, of course. But my kids, they eat it up big time. Now, this is also, I use we liberally because this is not me. But my wife and my little girl, they make wreaths together. Whatever those little circle things that hang on your door. I don't want to get into it, but whatever. Wreaths and like paper wreaths, you can do it with paper. It's not expensive. At least I hear it's not expensive. I didn't see anything hit my every dollar account too big. But anyway, popcorn garland. That's one that I've jumped in on. Hot chocolate. See, these are just create the vibe in your house. Didn't even cost much money. Start now planning. How many Christmas movie nights are we going to have? All cuddled on the couch, fire going, watching them old Christmas movies. How about this one? It depends on where you live in the country, but playing in the snow. Folks, last time I checked, that is F-R-E-E. Free. Go out and make snow angels. Free stuff. Kids love it. Baking Christmas cookies. Make sure you pay more attention to the baking than eating, though. You want to feed them to other people. Don't eat too many. How about a sing-along? Yeah, Christmas songs. You know, I know caroling's probably a little bit not very practical, except for those of you that can actually sing. But you can have a sing-along around your house that actually creates quite a bit of humor. I know it does in my house. We sound horrible. But have a little fun with that. Go to like Christmas plays together. I remember some of the funnest times is my wife and I holding hands, watching our kids do some kind of ridiculously awkward Christmas play. And it's fun. It's good entertainment. You've been to them before, right? In the gym floor and there's babies crying everywhere. That's just an experience. Homemade Christmas ornaments. You know, those ones that are really, really ugly. It doesn't matter what they look like. It's just fun. And so, and just make some ornaments together and hang them on the tree. It creates a memory, creates a laugh. And here's one that has been huge for us in the past, and that's donating toys to charity. You know, your kids get involved, and those toys that they don't use very much anymore, and you go donate them to charity. That's a lot of fun. It creates memories. So anyway, be thinking about Christmas, and otherwise, it's going to sneak up on you. It's going to feel chaotic. It's going to be stressful. And that will be your fault. It's not the fault of the season. It's how well we planned or didn't plan. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. First on the line from Phoenix, we have Saul calling in. Hey, Saul, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Chris. Thank you for your time.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. I was just out at Phoenix. Let's see. maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was at a Smart conference. We had a lot of fun. You guys are awesome.
I'm trying to get down to one of those one of these days. I'm just tremendously busy with work and all.
Well, good, good. Work is a good thing. How can I help you?
I got a two-part question, mainly the same thing. My question would be, I'm trying to do work. Me and my wife are trying to start this Every Dollar. Would it be wise to keep allowing EFT payments, which are the electronic payments, directly coming from our account, trying to do this Every Dollar Matters? And if not, is it worth keeping the EFT payments coming out if they're giving us a discount from 5 to 15% on just regular bills?
What are some of these bills that are coming out? What are they? Just utilities and stuff?
For instance, here in Phoenix, if you have your automatic withdrawals come through, say, your electric bill, and it's just an automatic payment coming out of your checking account, they will offer you a 5 to 15% discount on your bill itself for doing it electronically.
What's your major concern about this?
My major concern is my wife has always been used to dealing with electronics. Me, I've always paid everything cash. That way I know what's coming and going.
Uh-huh.
My main thing is we have so many little ones spread out throughout the month. We do have, like, our stuff set up on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, you know how something hits from left field all of a sudden, and you don't count. I'm not used to seeing that bill on hand because she automatically knows it's coming in and going. Now, we have an account that all our bills come out of, that we put all our money into that one account.
Mm-hmm.
And for bills, I'm trying to set up the envelope system.
Yeah.
And she was asking me, and I said, you know what, I never really thought about it. Would it be wise to stop doing the electronic payments? That way you actually know where your money leaves your hand and everything else. That was a question of mine. We're barely getting started, and I'm just trying to take the best step foot forward on it.
Yeah, you've got to determine whether this is I can guarantee you it's not a it's automatic withdrawal problem. It's more of either a communication problem or a systems problem at your house. But at the end of the day, if it makes one of you feel better and more secure for you to be able to just handle it yourself and you're not feeling very comfortable with the system, then I wouldn't want you to keep doing something that is making you feel, you know, unstable or insecure. If right now there's been some negative results to your current system, I would fix the system or do another system.
It hasn't been as far as being negative on our account. Everything gets paid. It's just, all of a sudden she'll say, hey, it's going to be short in that account for this reason. All we do is move money into that account to cover that end, because like I said, that's set up as our payment plan.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to move towards this envelope system, and it was a question that I brought up to her. She goes, huh, I never thought of it that way. I just needed some advice from somebody who's actually been doing it for a little bit, and would it be better to go back to the traditional way of paying everything cash, you know, or not just cash, but, you know, at where you feel it leave your hand, and that way you can make every dollar count.
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with that. I think it's actually very practical.
Okay.
I think what I do like, though, is for discretionary categories like clothing or miscellaneous or gas or food or recreation or those kind of things, I like those to be in the envelope. But if it's utilities, it's not very practical to go down to town hall or go down to some office building that's 17 minutes away to pay your water bill. That's 20, okay. 28 bucks when you're going to spend about $7 in gas to get there. So I think there's just, you guys find the practicality of what you can do and what you can't do. And I love the envelope system, but there are some things that's going to be a lot more practical, like utilities, to keep them electronic transfer. I would just improve your budget process and your budget. Okay. You should never be a negative in a budget category, because you should see trends and plan for them. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but I think it's more of a budgeting problem or a communication problem than it is a automatic withdrawal problem. So I love the fact that you're all over it and you're wanting to get more and more diligent. You'd said that you bought a book. What book was that?
Yeah, we bought Dave Ramsey's, not the financial piece. It's the second one.
Total Money Makeover?
Yes, that one.
Okay.
I've gotten like three quarters through it already.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've already started setting up the system a little bit and have our emergency fund of $1,000 put away.
Good.
And other stuff. But I didn't know that I was reading the wrong book until I got like halfway through it. And I'm like, oh, this ain't the right book. I'm going to be looking for it.
Yeah, that Total Money Makeover is probably our most recommended book. You're reading the right one. So, okay. What I hear in your voice, obviously there's a little systems problem, but I hear intensity. I hear diligence. And Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. You just keep making good decisions day in and day out, and you'll see yourself successful, because he says that if he can trust you with little, he can trust you with much. So I just want to encourage you, Saul. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
All right. Have a great day. Our next call is coming in from Roanoke, Virginia. This is Deborah. Deborah, how are you?
Hey, doing beautiful up here. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Well, I have a quick question. I have a granddaughter. And her great-grandmother, which is my mother-in-law, started buying U.S. Saving Bond Series EE. She purchased the first one in 2001. She purchased the last one in 2004. And then she passed away in 2005. So in cleaning, transferring the home things out, we found those. And I thought, well, the granddaughter is still in school, and we'll just put them aside. Well, the granddaughter is graduating next year, 2016. And I thought, well, this would be sweet if we could just cash it in and say, this is from your great-grandmother, who she remembers, but she was little then, hold on to it. I mean, I don't know what to do. So what is your suggestion? Now, we have 11 U.S. Savings Bond Series, two at $50, and the rest are at $100. So it's $1,000. But my understanding, they double. Is that when you purchase them at one face amount, and when you turn them in, they double the face amount?
I'm not familiar with that at all, about the doubling part. But you're probably going to get about, some of them you'll get 80% of the value, some you'll get 120% of the value. It's going to be right about one for one. They don't do much. Those savings accounts don't do much, especially if they only opened them up in 2001. There hasn't been a whole lot of time for them, because they grow so slow. They usually only, grow very, very minimally. They're not really a super good investment. I would cash them out.
But
yeah.
Are you suggesting to cash them out or just to hold them?
No, I'd cash them out. They're not ever going to grow. They're not ever going to do anything significant. I think it's still a great way to show love. That's fine. That's I think it's going to create a great moment for your family. The best stewardship thing to do is to get them out of a non-performing, and I use the word investment loosely, because it's barely an investment. It doesn't even keep up with inflation. So I would cash them out. Now, what you do with them, that's up to you. Whether she goes and spends that, uses it towards college, or puts it into a better investment, that's up to you. But I would definitely cash them out, because they're not going to do anything over the next 20 years. It's going to be, if it's $1,000 now, you're looking at maybe $1,300, maybe at one point. So they're not going to do much.
Okay.
But if you are wanting to, if she's already, 17-ish, I was going to point you towards maybe doing an ESA for her. But if she's already going to college, really any investing at this point, it's probably a little late. But I think, you're obviously more than welcome to talk to some of our ELPs, which are endorsed local providers, on what you could do to further help her with her college. But as far as that, they don't do much. So,
and they probably have the instruction on the back or somewhere on how to cash them in.
That's just as simple as going down to your local bank.
Really?
Yeah, I've cashed out several of them. I cashed them out for all three of my kids. I've cashed them out for myself. You just go down to the bank and they take care of it for you.
And I thought to cash it in and put it in a card from her great-granny, and I think that would just be so sweet for her.
Yeah, I think that's great. And that gives her some spending money for that first semester. I love it. It's great.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate all you do.
All right. Thank you, Deborah. All right, folks. Again, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And, of course, you can continue to call in 866-357-3283. This email comes in from Roger. He says, what would be the best retirement plan to choose? A 403B, 401K, 457? I'm 33 and starting a new job at a university, and it's my first retirement plan. Well, congrats, Roger. I'm glad that you are jumping in there. All three of those are great choices. What those are they have kind of a tax coat over them They're really glorified mutual funds that have a tax code over them that protect them from taxes. So at least their tax they have tax advantages. I should say that they're not next tax free, but they have tax advantages. So they're actually very good. All three of those are good. It's up to you. I think probably if you're at a university, 403B and 457 is going to be what's offered. And what I would look at is the best, you know, look at the balance of these things. Like think it through, like best historical performance. That's number one. How is it performed? What kind of flexibility do you have within those plans? Which one gives you the most control? When it comes time for distributions later, which one's the easiest to get your distributions? And the one that's least expensive. So, you know, think through all those variables, but they're probably very similar. The most important thing is starting. You're 33, get started. But I would make sure, I don't know if you're out of debt or not, Roger, but get out of debt first. Make sure you save 3 to 6 months in savings. Then you're going to start in retirement. So that's the order that you want to do it. But get started as soon as you can after you do those other things first. But great, great question. All right. Well, you heard me earlier. We want this to be your best Christmas ever. As part of the Ramsey Solution family, we are celebrating Christmas with the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway in cash and prizes this holiday season. All you got to do is go to stewardship.com and click on the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway, the banner, and then enter to win. You can enter once a day and there is no purchase necessary. So now through December 21st, there will be weekly winners. You can win prizes like cash. That's always a good thing, right? Our life-changing books, home studies, and much, much more. So do Christmas right this year. Again, head over to stewardship.com daily and sign up for the $100,000 giveaway in cash and prizes.
Thank you for listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question you want to ask Chris, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next on the line from Orange County, California, this is Brad. Brad, how you doing?
Good. Hey, Chris, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question for you guys in regards to home loans out in California. I know you guys always say never more than 15 years and never more than 25% of your income. So my first question is that 25% a net or 25% on your gross? And then the second part to that question, is there any differences in California, I would say, or any of the expensive places to live? Because it's kind of hard to make that math work with those numbers you guys have.
Oh, Brad, I knew as soon as I heard the 15-year 25% stuff coming out of your mouth, and I knew you're from California. I knew that's where you're headed. It's definitely a wrestle, isn't it, Brad?
It's tough out here, yes.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, you're a moderate income, like myself and my wife.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, if you want to hear that we make an exception for California, I can't say that, but I can give you some advice on maybe how you can meet us in the middle. Or, you know, yeah. We're not going to give you any exceptions, but we need you. Here's some things you can do to get there. It's not really meet us in the middle. It's to get there. One is to buy less house, which you don't like to hear. It's not fun, but it's either less square footage or it's not as nice. Or it's further out. So it's not in the prime location, but it's maybe 10 minutes removed. I'm in the same boat right now. I live in a very, very affluent area in Nashville, just south Nashville. It's called Franklin. And it's hard to buy a house in Franklin. It's not like California, so I only can half relate, but it's very expensive to live in this. So I can't buy a house in Franklin. So when I go to buy, I'm buying in cash, and I can't buy a house in Franklin. So I'm going to have to, you know, drive 15 more minutes to work. So I'm not preaching anything that I'm not doing myself. Or you can make more money. There you go. There's one.
I'm trying to do that every day.
There you go, Brad. Another one is just to put more down. So wait a little bit longer, put more down so you get a lower payment. It's 25% off of your net. It's your take home. So your spendable income. And that includes, that includes your insurance and your taxes. So that's all of that goes into the 25%. I know it's hard to hear. But in the event like you're already there, and you're like maybe you're already past that, maybe you're at 33 right now, my recommendation for you before, you know, in the meantime, before you can get it fixed, is to dramatically reduce your other areas so that collectively you're fine. So you not having a car payment helps. Instead of spending, you know, let's say $700 a month in recreation, you spend $500 and you get creative, or $400 in creative. You can shave in some other areas why, you know, if you're already in that spot, and you can survive for a while at 33% or whatever, but that's not where you want to stay. That's not where we want for you for wealth building.
All right, okay.
So California, Louisiana, Mississippi, wherever, it's called the house poor. And you don't want that much money tied up into a structure. You want to be able to start thinking through your future. Okay?
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate your time, Chris.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brad. I got an email here from Kim. She says, I love your show and I listen every day. I sometimes listen to you twice. Wow. That puts a lot of pressure on me. Just to keep me encouraged. We are currently on baby step 2, paying off stupid debt. That was her words, not mine. Don't get mad at me. I think I know the answer to this question, but wanted to ask to make sure. Our debt is not completely paid off, but we tithe each month. Should I continue that or stop that until my debt is paid? Thank you so much for your time and knowledge. Well, Kim, as you know, I am a pastor. So, pastor or not, when you read the scriptures and when I read the scriptures, we read the same thing. Malachi 3:10 says, you know, don't rob me. The whole Malachi 3 talks about don't rob me, bring your tithes to the local storehouse. It doesn't say except for when you're in debt. You know, our relationship with Christ, our giving is a reflection of our level of faith. And so when we don't give, what we're saying is we have less faith or no faith. And so we've got to, that's the whole premise of what we believe in the scriptures. We're believing in something we don't see. We believe that he died on the cross for us. We believe that he rose from the dead. We believe that he's coming back. So it's a faith thing. That's the whole premise of our entire belief system. So we got to remember, got to go back to his ways are not our ways. We know that. Okay. We have finite minds. He's an infinite God. So we're not going to figure it out. We don't get it. Okay, so we're going to have less money, but we're going to get in a better financial position faster. I know. I'm with you. It does not make logical sense. But let's look where our logical sense has gotten us as a country. If we were really doing math, you know, the 100% is better than 90% when it comes to this tithing thing. If we were really doing math, we wouldn't be in the spot where we're at financially. We wouldn't be paying 8% to 15% on all of our purchases. So obviously we're not doing math. It's amazing how we want to naturally start putting math into place when it's advantageous for us, when it comes to maybe paying less tithes. So I'm convinced, and I've got experience behind me, and I've got story after story after story, and I want to encourage you, Kim, in this. And this is a wrestle that you're voicing it, but it's a wrestle that many of our listeners have struggled with. 90% his way is dramatically better than 100% our way. And so we've got to have faith that the creator of the stinking universe can do more with our 90% than we can do with 100%. Okay. And I just heard this recently from my lead pastor, Pastor Pete Wilson here in Nashville. He says, most people don't have a generosity problem. They have a gospel problem. And what that means is you forgot what Christ did for us. When we really remember, we reflect on what he did for us. 10% is a joke. It's a minimum. It's really a bare minimum. I mean, he gave his life for us. He's the reason why we breathe. So, Kim, not talking at you. I'm trying to encourage you, and I'm actually talking at all of us so that we can all grow in this area. So, great email, and thank you so much for emailing in. All right, folks. Well, that's it for today. Real quickly, don't forget to sign up for the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway at stewardship.com. And while you're there, I want to encourage you, man, it's Christmas time. Buy a gift for someone. There's no better gift. Think about it. There's some things that they're going to experience for like 10 minutes or for an hour. But if we can get their finances right, oh man, you've given them a gift of a lifetime. So while you're at stewardship.com, shop around a little bit. Let's stay in touch. I'm at Chris Brown on Air on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And folks, it has been a pleasure. Let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory. God bless you.